Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode. Today is going to be, I guess, something that needed to be said in how I view soloists and how they're successful to varying degrees. But before we get into that, I do want to share a couple of things I'm excited about. I'm going to start doing this every week, depending on what's out there. So anything in the last week that has gagged me or any news I want to discuss. At the moment, there's no news particularly that I want to discuss. Actually, except for the fact that that idiot Jay Eel, aka Tay Eel, wants to appeal his 3-year sentence after raping, like after being convicted of raping a girl. And I don't understand how he thinks it's okay to not only, he's already getting a slap on the wrist by just getting 3 years, but to ask for an appeal is crazy. I hope he gets a worse sentence after this, but he must be confident for him to do that. Clearly, he might think he'll get a lighter sentence, but let's see what the judges say. I'll keep my eye on that though, and I'll update you lot once I have an update. And then in terms of music, 2 very exciting things happened this week. So Heart to Heart's Shock Horror dropped their collab, sort of they're now ambassadors of this brand called Baron Bliss, which is an Indonesian brand, I think, but it's the highest selling in South Korea or something like that. Yeah, they do like beauty products, and they dropped this song with it, and it sounds so beautiful. I'm not even 100% sure it's even them singing, but I thought I'd show you guys what it sounds like so we can all enjoy it together, because you know it's coming. That to me sounds like how I wanted style to sound like. It sounds so beautiful. It's got that chorus, the bass, the folk. I just can't wait to experience new, like a mini album from them. And I can't believe we're actually going to get it at some point. It feels so surreal to me. Now, also, another thing that surprised me, which was IDID, which is a new boy group from Starship Entertainment. They dropped their kind of teaser trailer thing. I was losing my mind. I was like, this sounds so promising. It might not, I think the visuals really help tie it together, but anyway, this is how it sounds. And it's crazy because when I realized the other week that, oh yeah, it's Starship, I was like, for some reason, I think I'm going to love them, because Starship eat when it comes to girl groups. They know how to put a girl group together. I've a sister, I guess that's it that I can think of for now. But they are iconic groups with great music and just a touch of femininity. So I was like, give them a boy group. I think they're going to make it a little bit oomphy, and to not my surprise, they nailed it, and it sounds so promising, and I love that it's a double chorus, the production is eating. Once again, Fifth Gen is not beating the allegations that they're the best generation musically. I am really looking forward to that. So that's going to be their pre-debut single coming out, I think that's the 24th, so just 5 days to go. And then I think their mini album comes out in September. Very excited, very excited. So today's video is going to be about video. I need to stop doing that. So I'm so used to saying video, video, video. Today's episode is about soloists and where I think some go right and some don't. And should everyone be a soloist? No, is the answer. Spoiler alert. So some examples for where I think things go well. Also, for people who don't know, and I discussed this on, I think, my first episode or maybe my second one, about how Korea is a Confucian society. Now, for people who are not learned and don't read, a Confucian society is a society that is about morality, social harmony, importance of relationships, as well as collective accountability. Obviously, for a lot of idols who or trainees who come from the West and go to Korea, they're very shocked and very dismayed at how there's such a thing of we're the collective. You do not, if you make a mistake, we all suffer. I think Jay from Day Six is one of the members, one of the idols who really spoke up about this and said, I remember coming to Korea and we were training and someone else would do something wrong, it would all be in trouble. And I'd be like, why are we all getting in trouble? It's so ingrained, as well as hierarchy is so important, so ingrained in everything that it also affects what product is more successful in the music industry. Hence why groups are such a thing. And I wonder if actually, I would love to ask Koreans about this directly. Are they conscious of it? Is it something that feels, maybe it's even subconscious at this point that, oh, we like groups and we just happen to like them. Without even maybe processing like, oh, maybe this is why we like them. So groups have been the major selling point in Korea, as much as I've seen from the K-pop industry without doing extensive research. I'm not a research analyst, but we've all seen who are the big artists. Of course, they're big soloists. So one of the biggest soloists is BoA from SM Entertainment. She debuted when she was 13, I think, in 2000. And she basically took SM Entertainment out of bankruptcy and is an icon. And she went to Japan and the Japanese saw her as a Japanese artist because she had to learn Japanese on her own as a young girl, and basically launched. And because she was so instrumental in the Japanese market, she's so successful over there. But obviously then she found success in South Korea as well. And I find it funny actually that even though she was so successful, SM didn't go, oh, let's do more of this. It just stopped. I do think there were plans for Jessica or Hyoyeon or who else as well. I think a lot of idols, when they did come to SM, some of them thought they were being going to be made at the next BoA. But it never happened. And I wonder what that is. Like, can we talk to someone in SM about that and go, mind you, the team at SM now is nowhere near the team that they had back then. But they never did it again. There was never another soloist that came independent of no group. Because for the most part, the formula is, if you're going to get a soloist, they come from a group and they're still active within the group. So even when they go to promote, like Taemin will still say, oh, I'm Taemin from SHINee, or Taeyeon will still say, Girls' Generation's Taeyeon. Even though they've established insane careers as soloists, they are still tied to the collective. So yeah, I hadn't actually considered that until just now. They had such success with BoA, and then they decided, yeah, let's not do that again. And you've got icons as well, like Lee Hyori. Let me actually double check, 'cause I'm not sure if she was in a group or not, but I'm pretty sure she was a soloist always. No, she was, of course she was in a group. She was in Fin KL. So wow, BoA really is one of a kind. She really is one of a kind. Then years later, we had IU. IU is a massive artist. People don't like the comparison of calling her the Taylor Swift of South Korea, but to me, it makes sense. Even the music has that kind of country element, whatever. Her kind of branding and how big she is, for someone to understand, you kind of have to use a Western comparison. It doesn't limit them. It doesn't mean that's what they are. Like, calm the fuck down, man. It's just a way to draw comparison. Why? I'm on another tangent now. Why are K-pop fans so allergic to comparisons? Everything's like, no, no, don't compare. Don't compare. It's going to Mind you, the person doing all that is the one causing the issues. Some people are very like, oh yeah, cool, and then move on. But you are now coming with, don't compare, it's gonna cause arguments. Meanwhile, you're the first arguer. So I find that really irritating. So IU, yes, she's like the South Korean Taylor Swift in a way. And she came, I don't actually know how she kind of came about, but she's huge and she's another soloist. Male soloist, you have Rain, another icon from the early 2000s, who started off in JYP, I believe. And you also have, what other iconic soloists are there? Do you know what? JYP, you could say so. Even though he was the head of the company, he also was a soloist from the jump, actually. And that's how he kind of got started. And I think Isuman was a soloist too. Crazy. So the fact that it's so hard to name, I can name 10 groups that debuted this week, but I'm struggling to name 5 soloists who are just soloists from the jump. So being a soloist is not easy. And overall, I do think the fact of how the society is means they find it hard to maybe focus on or enjoy someone who is this on their own as kind of like an inner egotistical way. Because even this links to a few months ago, they wanted to create a separate entrance at the airport for idols, because obviously they get harassed. It's really bad sometimes. Please tell me why the airport had to apologize to the public and say, we're not going to do that anymore, because there was such outrage that the public was like, you lot think you're better than us. No, you're not allowed to have another entrance. Like, what? I'm like, do you love these people or not? You really see them as products. Like, how are you not going, you know what? Fair enough. For their safety, give them their own entrance. But it's like, no. We're all in this together. Let's all be cattle in this. What's the word? Cattle in this shed? No. Cattle in this something. So yeah, that is kind of like a perfect example of really what it's like. So to get off my tangent, it's very difficult to find, to launch a soloist, even though the soloists who have dancers, I think a group dynamic is just a really big selling point. Whereas in the West, we've had a lot of successful groups, but there's definitely way more soloists. And it feels like being a soloist is sort of the goal. If you're in a group, you're not a star. Whereas over there, it's like, no, if you're in a group, there's still stars. Here it's kind of like, oh, who's the Beyonce, or who's the Justin Timberlake, or there's that kind of energy. There's a group is kind of seen as there's a soloist who's a star, and they've got their little helpers, Nicole Scherzinger. So there's that kind of feeling. Also, groups are made more for bands. People appreciate when it's a band. It's like, yeah, sure. Or groups in general are perceived as corny now, especially boy groups. It's been very difficult to get a new boy group out of the West. It's really hard. The girls are eating, because girls can be cunty, feminine, and that's always trendy. Boys now, to appeal to the public, they're going to be seen as corny because other men tease them so much. So what angle do you want a boy group to come in? They can't come and serenade women, because the incels have made it uncool to serenade women, because now you're a beta male. So what branding would you give a boy group to the West? And if you try to make them too sexy, they're going to be like, oh, they're gay. If they're rapping, they're not a boy group anymore. So it's really difficult. Whereas with girls, I found that it's easier to find success, because women can still enjoy and the gays can still enjoy. So yeah, whereas in Korea, so we've had minimal amount of soloists. And then the other alternative is, if you're in a group, usually after like 4 or 5 years, you'll be given the opportunity to do your own solo. Now, not everyone should do this, but I can appreciate that for some people, there's a pressure, I guess, to think, well, this is my route. I'm successful in this group. I'm quite popular. If I don't do anything, maybe my fans will resent me for not doing anything or taking the opportunity. I should do something, which is kind of sad, because once you're forcing something, the results are never that great. And I'll use myself as an example. I have learned the key to success is effortlessness. It's tough with this podcast because there's a weekly schedule, something that I've never done before. And I think why I'm harder on myself on episodes I feel aren't as good as others, because nothing is ever good enough in my mind. There's always room for improvement. But today feels so effortless. How I'm speaking, everything, the energy is coming through, and I'll be proud of the output. Whereas last week, it felt like I was just umming and ahhing and dragging myself along everything. But I still had to do it. But really, if I had a choice, if I'd skipped that week and did those episodes with the mind frame that I'm in today, that could have been even better, because it's coming effortlessly. Even starting the podcast, I didn't want to rush it. I didn't want to force it. It had to come with the right idea, with Rise and all this stuff. Boom. Even with the YouTube channel, there's things. Effortlessness is the key to success, even though it still requires effort. So when you are soloists in these groups and you're not really, it's never been your passion to be a soloist, don't force it. Because then what you give us is forgettable music that lacks an identity, and you're not doing anything new. I believe someone like Jimin is a star. He's a fantastic dancer. He's enigmatic, he's whatever. However, I think he's still, and also let me add this, people can still have room to grow. So you can start weak in terms of your artistic identity and develop and grow into something well. So there is an argument for that. But there is something about also when it's something that you're meant for, many people out of the gate kill it. They kill it with their artistic vision. They kill it with their delivery. It looks so authentic. So there's also that. Some people kill it from the jump. Some people grow into it. And some people never grow into it. And some people just never try. So there's many variables, obviously. There's new ones before you go, oh, actually. No, there is nuance to it, or obviously, but if we were going to break down every nuance, would we ever reach any kind of point or conclusion? No, you have to leave some leeway for things. So I think what was frustrating with Jimin, and mind you, Jimin gave us two mini albums, which is crazy. Two or three. I think it's two. But then Enlistment got in the way. After Serendipity, which is one of the best solo songs in any group, it felt like he could have followed up on this, but instead he didn't. And I don't understand what his process was. I'm like, does he not like this song, or does he not feel comfortable doing this kind of song? Does he want to perform more? But this song has great choreo. So then after this, he debuts. This is like crazy. Song, great production, and then he also did Set Me Free, which was felt like a performance piece in my mind. And I think that also showcased, I think Jimin's always been insecure about his singing voice, and he has faced a lot of criticism for it, but from what I've seen from the second mini, he's been working on his voice and he's definitely growing as a singer. And maybe he's starting to find a bit of his artistic identity, I felt. But then he came back with Who, and Who is a very... let me play it. Like, it's a cute song, but it's just so commercial and so empty. And do you know what? You can be commercial and still be an artist. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, considering what you do in your group and who you are as a star, is that really going to leave a mark? And is that really the soloist that you want to be? Now, in comparison, his bandmate, Taeyong, who is an R&B crooner, you could say, he released his mini album. Some people find it boring, and I can see why you would find it boring. I'd probably feel that way too if I didn't have taste. But I really got to appreciate the fact that he approached things in really his way. And also, what I really loved more than anything was the fact that it tied so well to the solo songs he did in BTS. So this is a solo song he did in BTS called Stigma. That song still hits, you know, hearing it now, like, wow. And that was what, 2018, 2019? It was a long time ago. And then he comes with this, and it's like, oh, this makes sense. This is his debut, one of the songs on his debut mini album. Like, what? And it also shows his vocal growth. He's definitely developed a cleaner tone and delivery, and just there's an honesty, and everything was just so delicious. And oh, I love this song as well. I need to play this quickly. Like, it just really felt like he made these songs and he took his time with them, and they were not something you would hear on the top 40 radio. And I guess I would say the metrics of what is a great artist to me is not someone who is delivering a song that feels like it was just given to them and could be sung by anyone. That's probably how I'd measure it, which is why that is my personal sort of metric. Someone else could feel the opposite way and think they're trying to be too edgy. I like when someone can do a mainstream song well because it's still fun, and that's your taste, isn't it? But I do feel there's, if you're going to be a soloist and stand apart from your group, your sound should kind of feel refreshing and not feel like something either your group would do and it won't feel like someone else would do. Now, Blackpink, Lisa and Jennie. Lisa, for me, is an example of, she shines in her group. She shines so amazingly. But what I've seen from her solo career now, it kind of showed that there's maybe a lack of range in how she performs, or maybe a lack of honesty. She puts on a great persona of like the flirty girl, and she's a phenomenal dancer, and she's got that presence. But there's almost like a lack of, she's not shown us her depth. It feels her true, like who are you beyond this? And her music showed that. So she first came with Rockstar. Well, to be fair, she also did Money and La Lisa. That era, that for me did not even, I preferred Money than La Lisa, but once again, it didn't really give much. I prefer to discuss the alter ego, because these are the full albums, the Sephora comparison. This was Rockstar. And I think with Lisa as well, because Rockstar at least had some really killer choreo. And it reminds me, I guess it's similar to, I'll use Taemin as an example, or even Kai as well. Phenomenal dancers, and even Ten's latest album. Phenomenal dancers who then can use their dance in a way that's really, they're telling a story, an artist, art. And there's artistry there. With Lisa, it kind of feels like, yeah, she's dancing, she's performing, but has she dared to really say anything, even in how she's dancing? Ten, for example, I feel like in the latest album, he's now gone past what Lisa's doing now. He really said, fuck it, I'm doing what I want, not what people want to see from me. And I saw it with, what's that song? Bali Bambola. That song, the choreo, the edginess and something, everything's like, and then Stunner has a laid back kind of feel, but it still hits. Taemin has done iconic choreos like Move we know he didn't go for hard-hitting choreo. He slowed it down. Granted, he was a few years into his career at that point as a soloist. So these things could come with time. But then again, Danger, although it had the Michael Jackson influence, the choreo was still, it's still very unique till now with the like flying arms and those kind of things. You just need those stamps. And then Kai with and then Peaches. So many unique moments in his choreo. So I feel like with Lisa, we've not really gone anywhere. And it's, isn't it funny that Lisa's the main dancer, yet Jenny is the one that went viral with Like Jenny. Like Jenny, everyone was doing that choreo and everyone is hitting. And it kind of goes to show how dance should be utilized in a way that's like, we're really making a statement here. And I think even Mantra was viral too. Here's that pretty girl Mantra. And which also goes into what star quality is, because Lisa, everyone in Blackpink has star quality in different ways, but maybe that's what it is as well. Jenny has always been kind of the queen bee. I've always seen her as the Blair Waldorf. She has that vibe, so maybe that's why her stuff just went more viral, because maybe she just has that edge and grit. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what people see rather than the actual, just the product itself. But there is something to be said by the fact that Jenny's Ruby album, firstly, was phenomenal. I had the time of my life listening to that. She gave her all, it felt like, on the album. Lyrically, sonically, video-wise, the collaborators were smart and felt very intentional. Everything just felt right. I'm like, oh, you are a solo artist. Like, this is the full package. So most of you probably definitely know Like Jenny, but for the ones who don't, this is Like Jenny. Got the whole room spinning like it's tipsy. And I think she managed to have a range of sonic sounds and everything felt honest. Even the song Twin at the end, lyrically and vibe-wise, it just felt really honest. And maybe that is also what an artist, to be a soloist, to be a great soloist, needs, is true honesty. And are you really willing to bare your soul to your audience, or do you want to present a perfect product for them that is super digestible but doesn't really leave an impact? And then we also have Mark in NCT, from NCT and also every other group that SM has. He's in everything. I was really looking forward to his solo album, actually, only to find out through his solo album, as I was listening, one of my main critiques was it just felt like he didn't know who he was. And funny enough, I think he'd even mentioned something about that. I only found out after the fact. One thing about me, my observations do not miss. When you live in honesty, you see honesty. That's my motto. He really... 99 was a good song. I actually think his title tracks were good. Now, the rest of the album kind of felt like a confusing, cluttered mess of a little bit of undeveloped demos or unfinished products that didn't really say a point, that there was nothing to really get your teeth into, it felt like, especially in even how he delivered his raps or even the lack of singing. Mark has a really nice voice. This could have been his chance to really give us a bit of that, but he didn't. But anyway, this is 1999, which is the year he was born, which I also like. It's a personal touch, and there's a lot of personal touches lyrically throughout the album. He's talking of Canada and X, Y, and Z. That was nice and all, but it once again stayed a little bit surface level. And one of my biggest critiques as well was the fact that his rapping style and accent is very... it's almost like he's chewing the words constantly. And I'm like, rap normally, like, I would love to hear him develop different ways of rapping and different tones and accents. Everything can... It got to a point where I was like, this is getting a bit... it doesn't feel authentic. And that's probably why I want him to sing. Because when he sings, he doesn't have any of that. His singing voice is super pretty and clear and just really conveys his intentions without any extra clutter or any extra characteristics. So that was his album. And also, he's someone who's also had some solos in the past with, what you call it, with NCT or whatever, or even like SM Station songs that are just one-offs. And I think some of them have been stronger. So that was Mark. And then in comparison, Jaehyun, who's also in NCT, dropped his first album. And wow, once again, and I promise, I do not have an R&B bias. It just happens to be the best sounding genre. But no, he came out the gate. Once again, the music video concept was fresh and weird and unique, and he's doing weird things like getting swallowed by a couch and getting spit out, covered in gooey oil-looking stuff, and then doing the choreo like that. The artistry. And it was consistent. For anyone to get Babyface on your song, Babyface produced the last song in his album, Can't Get You or Can't Get Out, whatever. That's so iconic. And it shows the investment into his brand and his sound, and it's not just a throwaway song anyone can get. You got a song by Babyface. So this is Smoke. Not for like a terrible segue, but you get it.
Smoke coming out the boombox. 808 trunk going crazy.
Like, he just knows what he's doing, and he played to his strengths beautifully. And I was really surprised because Jaehyun's a little boring, but not in the way that's like, you know, we've ever tried to see him not be, because we know he's got his quirks. But okay, I'll say this, he's very mysterious and a little bit of an introvert. And I didn't think his album would have been super interesting. Even enough, and a lot of how he sings, his approach can be very, he stays in his box. But I think he pushed himself in this album. He pushed himself lyrically, vocally, production-wise. He really gave his all choreo-wise. He did really great choreo for Smoke. So there is hope out there for the ones who you might underestimate. Oh, and Irene, I didn't even plan to talk about her, but since I was talking about people who are perceived as boring, she came into my mind. Irene came out the gate. I put her song in the Afrobeats episode, Like a Flower. Came out the gate swinging with a flawless album in a way I wasn't expecting either. You can hear her taste, and you can hear what a great soloist she is, because her musical identity was so thorough throughout. There was no doubt of, like, even though she had Like a Flower, she still had her R&B songs, and it somehow made sense as a collective project. So to conclude, I think for me, what makes a soloist great is someone who innately has always had a passion to be a soloist to start with, because that's what gives them the ego to have confidence in finding the sound that really works for them. And also, another thing that makes you a great soloist is how much are you willing to put in and be honest regarding who you are and how you feel about things and what you really have to say. Do you really want to make a mark in this space? Do you really want to do something that this song can't go to anyone else? This song is my song. That song is your song. Like, where do you stand on that? And to be honest, there's way more. I think there's been, because the fact that I have comparisons in the group of someone who's had a strong solo debut or solo album or whatever, and someone who hasn't, shows that it can be 50-50. It's not, all hope is not lost. A lot of people in these groups can make very good soloists, but some also know their lane. Like Sunny from Girls' Generation, she's like, yeah, no, I'm good. She's not bothered. Meanwhile, everyone else has had a solo. it says a lot. Maybe I think besides Yuna, everyone else has one, basically. And that's okay too. Know when to not feel like you should do something. And that's another key when I was thinking about effortlessness earlier. Stop performing life. Don't do things because you feel you should. Do not get into a relationship because you feel you should. Do not have a child because you feel you should. Who are you? What are you basing that feeling on? Who's watching your life to judge you? We're not in the Hunger Games, to my knowledge. No one's watching your life on screen like the Truman Show and saying, no, that's not right, and taking something away from you. No one is rewarding you and going, yeah, that's right, let's give you some more money because you're performing life right. Stop performing life. Don't do things because you should. That's how we end up in the state of the world that it's in now. But anyways, I'm going to leave you a lot with a recommendation as well. So I'm going to start doing this as well, if I remember, if there's anything I'm really gagging for. And it's a song I reacted to. It's called Are You Okay? By If I. It just came out the gate. I was really surprised. Some of these small labels are really coming out with hits, coming out with very, very strong releases. So yeah, I'll leave you on a lot on that note, and I hope you have a lovely week. It's been very hot. It's starting to get hot again, and I really don't like it. I can't wait for it to be cold again. I love winter. July, I'm looking forward to some new releases, so I'll definitely talk about those next week as well, because there's going to be some really good stuff. I'll see how I did sounded the full song. And I think also there's a few other things. So July has been very good. And Sunghan is coming soon. I can't wait to talk about him after we see his debut. Oh, that's also good news as well. He's performing at SM Town. And he's going to be on music course. So at least he's confirmed that he's going to be on music shows, which is beautiful. So they're really treating him like a true solo artist and a true artist, actually. And actually, he's a perfect example of an unconventional new thing. Of course, he was in a group, but now he has his own concept of two professional dancers for now, which is something different, and there's a lot of creative freedom. So it's exciting to see that K-pop is evolving so much, even in the midst of what seemed like a bad situation. So we'll see how that goes, and I'll definitely talk about it. Peace.